Saga Egmont presents Death on a Train, a Flora Maguire mystery by Anita Davison, read by Jane McDowell.
Chapter 1. Eaton Place, London, April 1905. Good evening, Stokes. Bunny's voice from the hall brought Flora to her feet. Issuing a brief apology to her two dinner guests, she left the dining room, shivering in the blast of cold air that rushed through the open front door. Tall and muscular, with slightly boyish looks, which sent females of all ages checking their hair in nearby mirrors, Bunny's pale skin was flushed from the cool night air, his blue eyes bright behind rimless spectacles. "I'm horribly late for dinner, Stokes. Is your mistress very angry?" He handed the butler his hat and then shrugged out of his overcoat. "I would rather not speculate, sir." Stokes placed the hat on a hook, took his coat and gave it a shake, scattering raindrops over the tiled floor. "I've laid out your dinner suit in your dressing room. Would you require my assistance to change?" "Not necessary, thank you, Stokes. I'll manage. If you could just tell my wife, I'll be down as quickly as I can." Flora stepped from the cover of the archway, from where she had observed them. The butler froze, the overcoat held out in front of him. "Ah, there you are, Flora." Bunny cleared his throat before summoning a conciliatory smile. "I intended to be here on time, but it couldn't be avoided. Sorry." He lifted his arms, intent on a hug, but she sidestepped him. "Ah, I'm not forgiven, then." "What kept you?" Her fierce whisper held the mounting irritation she had nursed all evening. "You've almost missed dinner." "If you'll excuse me, sir, madam, I must see to my duties." Stokes divested himself of the coat and, head down, fled in the direction of the kitchens. "How's the reunion going?" Bunny fingered an arm of his spectacles nervously, his gaze going to the closed dining room door. "Don't change the subject." Flora brushed a hank of damp hair from his forehead. "Better than I could have imagined, actually." Her attempt to stay cross was ruined as his cologne stirred her senses. "It's as if they have never been apart. I doubt they'll even notice I'm gone." As if on cue, a baritone chuckle drifted into the hall, followed by a gale of relaxed feminine laughter. "Why the sad face?" Bunny ran a finger along her cheek. "Sounds to me like your parents are getting along splendidly." "They are, and I'm delighted, of course. It's just... oh, never mind, we'll talk later. I should get back to our guests." How could she explain? William and Alice might have put the past behind them, but theirs weren't the only lives disrupted by 20 years of lies and secrets. "Your guests? This was all your idea, remember?" Bunny planted a swift kiss on her forehead and headed for the stairs. "By the way..." He halted halfway up and leaned over the handrail. "Your trip to Harvey Nichols was very much worth it. The gown is magnificent. I love that shade of blue on you." She waved him off impatiently, but her steps lightened as she returned to the dining room, relieved he was home and the weight of the dinner party no longer lay entirely on her shoulders. "I'm sorry about that." Flora resumed her seat in a room where soft golden light reflected off crystal and gilt. The crackle of flames and shift of coals in the Adam fireplace, completing the cosy ambience. "Bunny promises to be with us shortly." "You've no need to apologise, my darling." William patted her hand. "I haven't enjoyed a dinner this much for a long time." His gaze shifted from Flora to the lady opposite. "Although Flora did insist under no circumstances was I to cry off, which you have done on 2 previous occasions," Flora added.